You are, in fact, your brother's keeper. Let's talk about it on Key Life.
If you're sick of guilt and manipulation, and if you're looking for an honest and thoughtful presentation of biblical truth, you've come to the right place. This is Key Life with the founder of Key Life Network, Steve Brown. Keep listening for teaching that will make you free.
Thank you, Matthew. We're looking at Galatians, the fourth chapter, verses 12 through 20, as Paul addresses the new Christians among the Galatians. And by looking at what Paul is doing here, we're learning something about the care and the feeding of new Christians. We've seen that we're to model for new Christians. We're to identify with them. They should say, "You too," and accept them and be honest with them. We're also called to protect them. And I mentioned it yesterday. I'm gonna talk a little bit more about it today. Galatians 4:17, they make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. That doesn't sound very Christian, does it? I mean, Paul, you're supposed to be a lot nicer than that. Paul, how could you say things about others that way? I'll tell you why. Because Paul knew that he had been called to protect his brothers and sisters in Christ from the wolves in sheep clothing. Jesus said the same thing. And we should, and Paul, we have seen in that first chapter of Galatians, is absolutely devastating in what he says about people who have come into the church and started destroying the new Christians that are there and dumping on them things that didn't come from God. Let me tell you something you ought to know. When a person becomes a Christian, they become fair game for every weirdo in creation. They start getting letters from all kinds of ministries. They begin to be buffeted every kind of doctrine. They are called from every kind of cult. And dear friend, it's our business to protect the new Christian until the new Christian reaches a point of discernment. And sometimes that takes a while. Pastor, look at this book I just found. Man, it is wonderful. I look at it and it comes from the Sons and Daughters of Heavenly Hope. And it is really bad. My inclination is to say, well, he's a new Christian, and he'll learn discernment someday. But friends, that's wrong. I should say, and I do, the best thing you can do with that book right now is to burn it. Now, no, you don't have to say it the way I do, but I think you ought to sit down with the scriptures and say, let me show you something that's really important. There are a lot of ideas out there. Now, I'm not talking about the little things of doctrine over which Christians disagree. That's always been true, and it always will be true. I'm convinced that I'm right and you're wrong, but I'm not going to make an issue out of it. I'm talking about major stuff. I mean, things like the divinity of Christ. There's a cult that comes around to people's doors, and they don't believe that Jesus is God. In fact, they have scriptures where they've changed the words so it won't say what it does say about who Jesus is. And when those people come, they seem very spiritual. And people, especially new, uninformed Christians, get sucked into that. I had some of those people come to my house not too long ago. I spent years teaching at the seminary, which is fairly close to where my house is. And I was closing the garage door, and a couple of these folks, dear folks, and I liked them, came up and said, "Sir, could we talk to you a moment?" And I knew who they were, and I said, "No, you can't. And I'm doing you a favor by not talking to you." And the older guy said, "How so?" I said, because most of the people you talk to don't know what they're talking about. And I do. And I pointed to the tower at the seminary and I said, I teach there. I'm a Bible teacher. I know the Christian faith, and what you believe about the Christian faith is not only wrong, it's dangerous. So go talk to somebody else. And the young Christian said, hey, I want to talk to the young guy. He wasn't a Christian, I don't think. He said, no, I'd like to talk to you. And the older guy said, son, come on. This is not a man we want to talk to. You know, it's important that we have some standards and that we protect new Christians as they begin to develop a theological and biblical worldview. As I said, everybody in the world wants to get to a new Christian because they're excited and they're telling everybody. They'll say, I'm a Christian. Is that cool or what? And some turkey will say, well, I'm glad, but there's some things you ought to know. And then they get out their rule book and their gun where they shoot the gospel and kill it off. And we've got to watch. We've got to be careful because a part of our calling as Christians is to protect new Christians until they are mature enough to correct others who are new Christians. Guys, there's a lot of weird stuff floating around. There isn't any lie so big that a bunch of people won't believe it. And there isn't any religious guru so weird that a bunch of people won't follow him or her. So, protect them for God's sake and theirs. You think about that, I'm in.
Thank you, Steve. So much more to dig into about caring for new Christians, and tomorrow we will pick up our study of Galatians right here. Now, I'm going to tell you something you already know. Steve is a smart guy, but he will be the first to tell you that he's gotten it wrong. In fact, Steve says he used to think that we should all be getting better and better every day in every way. Well, if that were true, then why do you and I still struggle so much? Why do we feel guilty? Well, Steve delved into those answers in a powerful sermon called When Being Bad Isn't Bad Enough. Take a quick listen, then I'll be back to tell you about a free offer. Here's Steve.
So there's real guilt. And as I read this text to you, if you didn't wince, you didn't understand. If you didn't hold up the mirror of God's absolute call to obedience, you didn't get it. God is not calling you to be religious and have power. He's calling you to run to Jesus and be weak. And in your weakness and your lack of mercy and your need for forgiveness, then God's going to do something. And where do we get this celebrity thing? That's crazy. So you can't soften the radical obedience to which Jesus calls us. He calls us to come to the end of ourselves. He calls us to take up a cross. What's a cross? It's a place where people die. He's calling us to self-death. Can't erase that. It leaves a smudge on the page every time you do that. But Jesus didn't just say that. Notice not only his call to radical obedience, notice his reference to a radical God. Look at the second part of the 35th verse, but I'll start at the 35th verse. But love your enemies, do good, lend, expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great. And here it comes, sports fans. You will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful. He is kind to the evil. That's not us, that's them. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. If you've listened to me teach much, I often say that God's not angry at his people, and he's not. I don't care where you've been or what you've been smoking or where you've been sleeping or what you've been drinking or where you've gone. I don't care about the far country. If you're his, he'll never be angry at you because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness in the believer's life. And I've said that. That's who I am. But I always, because you never know when unbelievers are going to be in a congregation. I always say, But if you don't know him, you be afraid. You be very, very afraid, because you're living under the wrath of a holy God. I still believe that. But I'm not going to say it that way anymore. I'm going to say it softer. Because of this text. You notice what Jesus said? Jesus says that God, and we'll be his sons and daughters, that God likes Dan Brown and the Da Vinci Code. What's with that? That God likes the strippers and the gays and the sinners and the atheists. That God is that. One time Lincoln went to visit a hospital peopled with wounded soldiers that were captured from the Confederate Army. And they knew their enemy was coming to visit, and they hated that. They were angry until Lincoln showed up, and he didn't say anything. He stood in the door, looked at the soldiers, and he wept. It's the kind of God we worship. Seems to me he ought to like us better than he does them. I mean, don't you think? I mean, we're in church, after all. I mean, we read the Bible and pray, after all. Seems to me he ought to like us a little bit better. We've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. He ought to like us. But here, God is portrayed as a God who is kind to the evil and is a merciful God to all of you. Yeah, I believe in the wrath of God, but I'm going to say that softly because there's something else going on here.
Would it be okay if we sent you that full sermon on a CD for free? If so, then do this for me. Grab your phone and call 1-800-KEY-LIFE. That's 1-800-539-5433. You can also email steve@keylife.org and ask for the CD. If you'd like to mail your request, send it to Key Life Network, P.O. Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. If you're in Canada, send your request to Key Life Canada, P.O. Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L 6J8. Just ask for your free copy of the CD called When Being Bad Isn't Bad Enough. Finally, would you prayerfully consider giving to Key Life? You could charge a gift on your credit card or include a gift in your envelope. Or, hey, make it easy. Just text Key Life to 28950 on your smartphone. That's Key Life, one word, two words, doesn't matter. Text that to 28950. Key Life is a member of ECFA in the States and 4C in Canada. Both of those organizations assure financial accountability, and Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.